Episode 3.
I find that if I do throw out that larger net, I do get more clientele in here.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results. Hello, aftermarketers. Carm Capriotto. This week is part 2. Episode 3 with the partnership team from Dynamic Automotive, Jose Bueso, Lee Foreman, and Dwayne Myers. This MSO group was selected top 10 automotive shop in 2014 from Motor Age. They are extremely involved in their communities and are giving back to the industry by being involved with the Auto Care Association and serving on the education committee with CCPN, that's the Car Care Professional Network. This was such a great interview, it was split up into 3 parts. You're listening to part 2. Let me say that Jose, Lee, and Dwayne didn't hold back, spoke from their hearts, and shared some great wisdom. There's a lot to hear, so enjoy. Their shops are in Libertytown, Newmarket, and Urbana, Maryland. Occasionally, you'll hear shop noise, and that's the sound of business going on. Don't miss a minute. So in growing a great business and bringing so many passionate ideas that you want to do in your business, take us to a moment, an incredible time that you had this great aha moment, and tell us the story of how that came about and what the result of that was.
Carm, this is Dwayne. I'm going to have to refer back to you talking about Leadership 2.0. When it opened my eyes to the industry, but what it also really opened my eyes to was the difference between leadership and management. I realized that instead of managing the guys, you know, and be more of a leader and get them involved and get them to buy into what you're selling, it makes it so much more successful. And that moment, it definitely changed my life and my whole direction as a business owner.
But, Dwayne, you were, I mean, your partners are telling me that you have great leadership, but you were a leader before that, so what changed?
Maybe I realized at that time, finally, that I think I just became more outgoing, more assertive. I was a more defined mission for myself so that I could be more successful.
What does self-confidence have to do with that?
I think it has a lot to do with it. You have to be very confident. If you're confident in yourself, people feel that. They want to follow you if you're a confident leader. If you show, you know, that you have doubt, they're going to have a lot of doubt. If you show confidence and you are positive and you say this will happen and you will get it done together, they're in with you.
Thank you so much for that. We're going to go into a segment of the show I call Under the Hood. These are questions kind of rapid fire, but yet they don't really require super long answers. But it's like we would like to know, what's the best advice you guys have ever received?
I was given some advice prior to going into business by my mom. And, you know, having that good job and that mortgage and that family really makes you think twice about making a move like going into business for yourself. But she said, you know, Jose, you got to live life with courage. And that was really inspiring to me. So that gave me the permission, the forthright to go ahead and start the business. Live life with courage. And I still do that today.
Excellent. How about you, Lee?
For me, it's integrity. It's all about, you know, I've always felt that if you have great integrity in what you're doing, and you know, people want to know they can trust you. So integrity and trust for me is kind of always was kind of like the best now, you know, best thing I've always been told by my first employee. I mean, I guess my first job was at a Lincoln Mercury dealership, and I had an excellent shop foreman, and he was called Pappy. And, you know, I remember really screwing up one time early on, and he says, you know, if this is the kind of workmanship you're going to do and this is what you're going to do, you need to get out of this business. He says, you need to be someone people can trust.
So you got that father, Dutch uncle kind of advice.
Right.
Excellent. So many people can think back in all those years as to what were those defining moments that really set them on the right track. Dwayne, how about you? Best advice you've ever received?
I've gotten a lot of advice over the years, but one that sticks to my mind that makes a difference today is I'd just gotten out of the service. I was a tank mechanic in the Army, and I got out of service and was working for a tractor-trailer company that hauled gasoline. And at the ripe age of 22, I was put on call every 4 weeks. And throughout the night, weekends, when there's no one around, I'd get a page and have to go chase these trucks over 3 or 4 state area. And I was told by my boss at the time, you know, I was worried because I'm a young kid, and it's a lot of money out there, and if I made the wrong call, it could cost the company a lot of money. And he told me, he says, you know, whatever you do, make the best educated decision you can, but make a decision, because if you make no decision, you're automatically wrong. And from that, I to this day, I know that if I don't make a choice, I'm already wrong. I've already lost. So I also tell people, make a choice. Just have a reason for doing it and go forward.
Courage, integrity, and make a decision. Those are great. Thank you guys so much. True differentiation in a business. When you look at many places that are so similar, but sometimes the best ones cream to the top, it's because they have differentiation. What's the differentiation at Dynamic Automotive?
I think attention. This is Jose. I think the way we attend, give attention to our customers. We're a good old-fashioned doctor office compared to a big HMO. That's what really differentiates our business from the run-of-the-mill car facility out there. The type of attention we give our customers.
Do you all agree?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I would even top that with saying that it's just not our customers, it's our communities. We really put a lot of effort into helping our communities because it comes back around. And even, you know, some of the people that live in these communities aren't our customers yet. But if we help the community out, you know, that helps them out. And that may mean they could come back and see us then.
Great answers. Thanks. Anything holding you back right now?
Karm, this is Dwayne. Being in the community, you would think everybody would know you're there, but you know, my shop in Urbana is just a couple hundred feet off the beaten path, and you get a lot of new. There's a lot of building, a lot of new people living there. The word of mouth getting to them that they know we're there. That's probably the only thing I can think of that's holding me back over there is once they come to me, it's golden. You know, we're going to give them the experience they want.
So you got to get to the customer. That's what you're saying.
Right. I got to get to the new people that came in, and they need to have a reason to come see me. And then from there,
but the business is growing.
Mm-hmm.
The business is growing. You just want to ensure every day that the word gets out that you're there.
Yes.
How about you, Lee?
Well, for us, Gar, really our biggest holdup for us is space. Since we're the first store and we've been there 20 years, I mean, we've cultivated the relationships. We've proven our integrity. And so I actually have one of my first-time customers, been with me 20 years. He says, you know, you guys need to stop being so good. I started laughing. I said, why? He says, because I'm having a really hard time getting my car in here for an appointment.
Wow.
And for me, having a two-bay shop, when the weather's not good, we can't really work. I don't make the guys work outside. When the weather's good, we utilize the whole parking lot. But for me, it's just I wish I could expand. It's just not something that's feasible because of some other difficulties. But
well, there's probably some two-bay shop owners out there that wish they had that problem.
Probably, yeah. Trust me, we feel very blessed.
But that's great. Jose, how about you? Anything holding you back right now?
I have to agree with Dwayne. His need to expand is my need also. My shop resides in a much more rural area, so I have to cast out a broader net, and my challenge is to gain more clientele. This year, I've started a campaign, and it is working out very well. I started in January, and I'm going to do it every other month. I've done some carpet type of coupon marketing, and I'm on sale like Bed Bath & Beyond, and it's a big difference between 2014, the way I began that year, and this year. And I find that if I do throw out that larger net, I do get more clientele in here. And once they experience our service, they stick around, they stay with us.
Are you picking carefully who the customer is that's getting your large coupon?
No. I'm casting, as I said, a broad net. I'm sort of like carpet bombing at this point, if you will.
I see. Okay.
I'm bringing as many people in for this experience as I can.
Tell me about, guys, your amenities for your customers, interactive media, digital assets, or features that make your customer experience unique.
Well, Urbana has probably the nicest facility, and probably those customers experience the more unique features that they offer over there, from popcorn to coffee to a beautiful room with a sofa, a TV, and Wi-Fi. All three shops have free Wi-Fi, of course.
All the shops have Wi-Fi. That's excellent. What's the percentage that your customers hang around each day and wait for their car?
At Liberty Town, my percentage is rather small. I have a smaller waiting room. I would say, though, on a Saturday, I'll have two or three, and quite a few of them now, especially the students, come in with work, and they're able to work on their projects in my little waiting room. I can house about four people max in my waiting room. But during the week, during the morning hours in Liberty Town, I'll have maybe one or two during the morning hours, and maybe one in the afternoon. And Lee is different.
Carve, yeah, this is Lee. I have a closet, and my customers kind of laugh when they come in, and they kind of know what to expect. And when you're in my office, unfortunately, it was used to be a small gas station office, and you're pretty elbow to elbow, and people get hit with the door now and then when the door opens up. But my customers come to me despite the fact I have nowhere for them to stand or sit per se, but that doesn't deter them, and I feel that's because of the relationship we've built over the years. That's not what's important to them.
Your culture is so strong that it precludes the fact that there's a beautiful place to hang out. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for that, guys. Thank you. What percentage do you buy online from your parts suppliers? Do you use their e-commerce portals?
This is Jose. Most of my parts, about 80 to 90%, of my shopping and ordering is online.
That's probably the same true for me, Carm. This is Leo. We do 80%+, and we'd do more if we had more portals just because it's easier.
Got it. Dwayne, same with you?
Actually, mine's a little different. For me personally, myself and my general manager, we do stuff online, but my service writers, they like to talk to people. They call in. They never worked on cars like we did in the past, so sometimes they just call in, and they figured the parts guys are the experts, so they call and get the information that way. So, but I would say probably 30 to 40% for me is order online, and then the other percentage is phoned in.
Excellent, thank you. I'd just like to go down the list of these 14 and tell me how they rank as far as value of a supplier, availability.
Car, we put that at number 3.
Number 3, how about trust?
Number 1, most important.
Number 1 is trust. Thank you for that. How about knowledgeable?
That was a 5.
And relationships?
Number 2.
Number 2, so trust, relationships. Product selection?
7.
Product quality?
4.
Price?
12.
Delivery service?
6.
Training technical?
10.
Training management?
11.
Import coverage?
13.
Loyalty program?
8.
Marketing programs?
14.
And warranty support?
9.
Excellent. Thank you for that, and I'm sure our listeners will appreciate how you value your suppliers. Now, regarding your business, as you look inside your business, I'm looking for a ranking from 1 to 12, with 1 being the highest. How these strategies relate to your own business focus? And I almost have a feeling where this first this first strategy is going to lay. Customer experience, how do you rank that?
Yeah, that is a pretty easy one, Karma. That's definitely number one.
That's your first one. And then regarding your own company, your own shops, where's revenue generation fall on the list?
Came in 9th.
9th. How about marketing and digital assets? That would be Facebook and your like your postcards and stuff.
That will be 5.
Maintenance sales, selling maintenance.
10.
Technician training.
8.
Supplier relations.
6.
How about shop productivity?
2.
Aha. Finding quality techs.
3.
Business management training.
7.
Car count.
4.
And how about exit strategy?
That was 11.
That was 11.
We're not planning to leave anytime soon, so we're still good. We're still growing.
Great. Do you think exit strategy should be on that list?
Yes.
Got it. Good. Thanks.
Yeah, it's definitely something to consider. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
It's something most people don't even talk about, but you really, to look at the future, you've got to look at the ending.
Yes. I mean, currently, too, we have key man and buyout policies in force. You know, we do look at that end of our business. But on the subject scale, it's number 11.
It's in there. Thank you. Great. We also want to know any special national program affiliation or membership in a program.
Well, Carmus, this is Dwayne. We're members of the Auto Care Association, also the Auto Service Plus member and members of AS.
Excellent. Thank you. What do you do to generate traffic, new business? And, you know, I heard, Jose, you say you do the Bed Bath & Beyond big postcard, and so many dealerships are doing that. Is there anything else?
We utilize a service by the name of Demand Force to send out reminders to our customers, like a dentist's office reminds you of your checkup. We remind our customers when it's time to come get your oil changed. And we do small marketing programs through that organization also. We have an interactive website that our customers utilize. We're totally connected via email with all of our customers.
Do they like texts?
Some of them.
And I heard you talk about Facebook before regarding that would be a digital marketing tool of yours. How much do you use social media, and has it had an impact?
Carm, this is Dwayne. Social media has had an impact. We're still learning. Actually, we just recently assigned one person to duties of maintaining that because we had a couple people working on it, and now we're going to focus on it more. And we have one person has a job of maintaining not just Facebook. We do Yodel. We have Yext. We look at different things, and we'll try. We'll look at what's new, what's greatest, what's unheard of, and we'll give it a shot. And if it works, we'll continue. If it doesn't work, we just consider that a learning experience and move on.
That's interesting that you've assigned a responsibility to manage your social. That's excellent.
And Carmus Lee, and one other thing he had neglected to tell you was, two years ago, we were doing giant food receipts in the Urbana store because Giant Food's right there. And we didn't think it was really doing much, so we quit doing it. And about 6 months later, you could see the lack of return that had fallen off because we weren't doing it. And we recently started that back up again.
Explain that to me. What do you mean by that?
Dwayne will explain that because it's in his store.
Carm, what he's talking about, the giant receipts, on the backside of grocery stores, a lot of them will have advertisements.
Okay, I get it, yeah.
And the giant is smack dab in the middle of our community, and we actually track our coupons. We have a spreadsheet, and we every coupon we put out, we code it if it's off the website, if it's off of a local, from a local event, off a silent auction, off something we gave to the schools, off the giant receipts, off Facebook. And what we do is we track it. Not only do we track that they used a coupon, if they were a new customer, how much money they spent, and what it tells us is, is this coupon being used by customers we already have? Is it bringing in new customers? Is it a waste of money? Or should we invest more money into it? So if you don't track where you spend your marketing money, you can blow a lot of money. So we track it.
So tell me, what's the ranked 1, 2, and 3 that you track? What's the best, second, and third?
The best is our direct mail still. All three shops we direct mail to of the communities we're at on usually a bi-monthly basis. And that is our biggest return. For me, the giant receipts is probably the second, and then our website. We have coupons on our website. And between those first three, they're pretty much the heaviest hitters.
This is the end of part two with Dynamic Automotive. Part three is in episode 4. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.